It is 12:34. I haven't preached for a month. That's terrible to say, isn't it? Either get your pillow or whatever, you know. Psalm 139. Let's all go there very quickly. I'm going to talk about it tonight, so I probably won't say much about Psalm 139, except it's a lot of prayers, and what you read this morning already is the prayers that are in it, and it is so important that we grasp that. And Jeremiah 33:3. If you're going to take any notes, write Jeremiah 33:3 on your notes section, because that is the greatest prayer verse in the Bible. Jeremiah 33:3. Kind of remember that, can't you? 3:3:3. And call unto me. Let's all read it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just, you know, you call, he will answer. And then he's going to show us. He's going to show up in our lives personally. He's going to show up at church. He's going to show up when we do things. And it is just wonderful that God is here and God can show up in a time that it is just great to realize that, wow. The part that I want to hit this morning is the word wonder. Verse 10, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 5, oh, this is the prayer, oh, that my ways were directed. The New International or the New American Standard Version says, established to keep thy statutes. There was more prayer going on in the seventh game at the World Series than in most churches in America. I mean, the Cleveland Indians were all praying for the first nine innings, is that right? And then the Chicago Cubs people were praying the rest. Okay, I seen them in the stadium just going, and I saw them going. There was more praying going on at that ball game than in probably 100 churches in America. Were they sincere? Were they seriously praying? Earnestly praying? Were they? Oh man, yes. And I just realized, wow. To pray that passionately, to pray that intensely, to get that and to realize, wow, I want that. 3 weeks ago, we had an evangelistic outreach that was awesome. And each night at the end of each of the corn outreaches, we would gather in the foyer there for the invitation. And I got to see just everybody. The closer it got to the invitation, the more quiet it got. People were standing, leaning on the walls. Most of them were individually doing it. And we were all praying. Because we were given the privilege of talking to people about how to get saved. And that is something that you can't do by yourself. And you need the power of God. You need to have supernatural praying to make that happen. And you have to, they were standing there praying quietly, earnestly. I could see it in their faces. It was a beautiful thing as a pastor to see all of that. They were expectant. They were pleading. They were begging. God, use me. God, how do I tell somebody how to get to heaven? How do I describe it? At best, you do poorly. At best, at the end of it, you feel, boy, I should have said this, should have said this, should have. Oh, man, I hope they understand. God saves people. You can do a poor job. Now, don't do a poor job, but you can do a poor job. And God still saves them because it's a miracle. But we were in a place where, oh, God, speak. God, speak through the preacher. When he was preaching, we were praying for him to have the power of God and to realize that, wow. You know, it intensified. We started on Wednesday feeding the teachers. And then we were praying for the teachers Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we had an outreach outreach show on Sunday, mainly for us. And then Wednesday, it got deeper. And then Thursday and Friday, it got really deep in praying. And Sunday night, it was my. And we realized, God, you got to do it. And the intensity was growing. And then these past 2 weeks, we've been following up. You've been praying for people specifically. You had their outreach cards. And the intensity of praying is there. I left here Monday afternoon, and set up everything, and we went. And I tried to keep that level of intensity. I left from a week and a half, that I didn't even have time to sin. I don't know if you know what that means. If you're so busy, I was busy with Corn at every one of them and running around with him and praying for all of that events and praying for all the other stuff and here every night, and you're just realizing, I don't have busy. On Tuesday night, Kyle and I went to a pastor's meeting in the evening till way late. So we were busy every night, every day, all day. I didn't even have time to sin. Now, I'm not perfect. Please give me. You already know that. But it was wonderful. Huh? And then to go to Florida and try to, I had some great times in Florida. I got to spend some time reading Psalm 119 and reading my books on prayer and praying for y'all. And I knew what was happening at all times. And I was trying to watch my clock and pray for you, doing what? When Kyle was preaching and Matt was speaking and Jim was speaking and all these people speaking and Dr. A speaking and praying for the teens and praying. I found out that I couldn't keep that level of intensity. Did you? Is it all right?
Yeah.
We can't keep that. And you have to fight for it. You got to go get it back. You know, prayer is something to catch this, that, God, I need you. I need you, God. I need you. And in Psalm 119, verses 32 to 40, it's just all about prayer. Look at it. Psalm 119, verse 33 to 40. It says, these are the prayers. Every verse is a prayer. Teach me, give me, make me, incline my heart, turn away mine eyes from vanity, establish my heart, turn away my reproach, you know, revive me, quicken me. That's a line of praying I'm not seeing. We're going to catch that in a couple weeks. But he was praying, God, I need you. I need you. Justice and Kayla are going to come and sing us a song. I need you, God. Look at the words. It'll bless your heart. Come and sing for us.
Sing apart from you, for Lord,
so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to know that we need the Lord, and I need you. Oh, I need you. Prone to wander. Is that right? Prone to wander. I can be determined to pray, and things start coming. Do we have natural distractions? We have natural distractions. We have jobs. We have family. We have events. We have bills to pay. We have trash to take out. You know what I'm saying? My wife has a lawn to mow. But we have natural distractions and hindrances to our prayers. I wanted to keep at the level I was living for that week and a half with Brother Korn. And it was just a time of prayer and walking with God and expectant God. It was awesome. And then I had to live and be with family and run around and do things. I could help it for a couple days, but then I would forget to pray for a whole 2 hours. Then I would forget to pray for a whole day. And then I go, God, what's going on? I struggled. And then I realized we're human. But then we got the power of God, and we're supposed to lose it so that we can what? Gain it back. And you get there and you'll plateau, and then things start happening, other stuff happens. Is that true? And then we go down and we forget to pray an hour or two or half a day, and then something happens. It raises your prayer level again, and you start praying again, and you, oh, it's wonderful when you're praying, and you realize God's here, and then you see God's happening. I won't tell you any details, but while we were in Florida, we had some real struggles, and God came through. Do you know you only have struggles for God to show you He's there? If we would just realize that, you know, we wouldn't pray, you know, Lord, please let me to go to hospital today. Please, please, please. No, no, no. But when they do come, when the trials, the troubles, the testings, the struggles, the tragedies come, God, He you know, I'm ready to hear from you. You know, and in tragedies, do you pray the most? When do you pray the most? When do you pray the hardest? When do you pray fervently and earnestly? And, oh, man, and the more troubles you are, usually in my life, the lower I go. And you start, oh, and you ever pray flat on the floor? When you're praying flat on the floor, you're really praying. Help me. And raising holy hands in our day. When you're really praying, you're using your hands. If you're really talking, ladies, you're using your hands. And it's, God, help me! And it gets louder. Is that true? It gets more intense. And then when it passes, the intensity what? Drops. Thank God it passes, huh? Can you live at that intensity? No. No, but you can regain it. Huh? You can regain it. And you see a need and a burden or a passion arises, and you can regain it, and you realize, I can pray again. And God's ever ready to hear us pray again and put prayer at the proper priority and to pray. And we try to, at our church, keep you that way with our prayer list that we pass out, our bulletins, our prayer list and our bulletins, and people, things going on, and you realize, I can do this. Prayer is the last spiritual grace to fire up and the first to cool off. It's the last to master and the hardest to maintain. If you want to write notes, those are the notes. We've not had notes in our bulletin. How many, you know, like the new bulletin? New bulletin, it's nice there. Pastor Kyle did it. It's a millennial. I don't even know what millennial is, but it's millennial. Okay, very good. But to think about it, it's prayer is something that you want, but it's hard to keep it, isn't it? And it falls away, you lose it, it cools off, it fades, and you realize, wow. Do you know it's the last? Coming to church, attending church, and then getting involved more, getting baptized in communion, and connecting and caring and encouraging, and then giving, and then meeting people's needs. You do those things and you get them into habits. Is coming to church and connecting and caring and encouraging people and giving a good habit? It's a great habit. It's a great thing. And then you get to a place after you've done that for a while and get that in a routine, and you do that, you start getting more involved and volunteer in service, and then you start leading, and then you start studying and preparing and doing lessons. Then it's usually witnessing starts happening, and you start routines. Prayer is the last one. Prayer is the last routine that you really get to. And that's why it's so hard to get to that. You know, attending church is real good. Sometimes we got church and we just come Sunday morning and that's it. Let me tell you, if you're missing Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're missing a real blessing. Do you know what Sunday night and Wednesday night does for you? It just makes you focus on God a little bit. Do you know you're going to be focusing on something? You're going to waste your time doing something. And to do that, to have church Sunday, Wednesday, and you realize, why do we need that? We desperately need that. You need us. We need you. You need God afresh all the time. And it's wonderful to realize that. That's why it's there. And you catch it. It's a habit you get into, and boy, it's great. I was amazing watching the World Series. I don't really like baseball or watching baseball. I'm no good at it. I was in Little League one time, and I was the pitcher. And they told me, he said, Fisher, he says, get in there and warm up. He took me out in warm-ups. They show those guys pitching. The one guy for the Cubs, their closer, whatever his name, when he'd pitch that ball, they'd show the box and all of that, and you'd pitch, and he would hit that little box all the time. He was really good. He'd throw 100 mile an hour. I'm going to go, whoa. You know. And it would, you realize he's got a habit of it. He's good at it. You should be good at coming to church. You should be good at connecting with people. You should be good at giving. You should be good at volunteering. You should be good at studying and teaching. You should be good at witnessing. The last one you're getting good at is praying. And it is the first to go. The last one to get, the first to go. The last one to master, the hardest one to maintain. And that's for all of us. And so many times, if you do get prayer as a habit, you get a list and you get it a habit, then what problem comes next? You get in a routine and it's called a rut. In my prayer, in my youth, I prayed every night. We got on our knees. It was mentioned at the memorial service. We got on our knees every night and prayed. And Mom and Dad prayed so long, I fell asleep most time as a kid. And then it was my turn to pray. And I had it all memorized. And I would pray halfway through my memorization. I would be half asleep. And my mind would switch gears. And I'd flip back to the first of my memorized list and start praying it again. And my mom would kick me, right? Right in the middle of it. Boom. That's how I learned to pray. And you realize, you know, hey, keep your mind on it, boy. Keep your mind. Is it easy to get a list and then hard to keep it passionate? It is. It is. And you got to fight for that. And so you got to get the habit of praying, and then you got to work on not letting it be a routine or to be a rut or to be something that's just normal or duty or task. There's a problem of not praying, and then there's a problem of praying, but it just is duty. It's just a religious activity that has no power. You want to pray with power, and you realize that sometimes you're praying for the super needy, okay? Put that next line up. You're praying for the super needy. You have a need and you pray. Need prayer, okay? That's not bad. Worse than that is super spiritual praying. You're just a religious activity. I did it. You know. Now, God wants you to do it, but He wants you to do it with passion and earnestness and faith and touching and not just let it just be normal. He wants you to get fired up. He wants you to have effectual, fervent prayer. A description of my mom at our memorial service, one person said, my mom was all out. All full tilt. Do you think my mom had a tough time keeping prayer alive and fired up? Yes, she did. She had to worry about what dress she was going to wear each day. Was my mom a fancy dresser? Did you see her at 90 and 91? She wouldn't come out of the house unless she had her hair combed. Her and Reva one time, Reva fell in the bathtub, and they were there for about 3 hours waiting on somebody to get them out at ABC. And the story was told when the guy got there, they had their hair and makeup already done. When my mom had to bleed through on Saturday night at 2 a.m., I didn't get there till about 7 a.m. And she was fully dressed and had her hair all combed and everything. And she was having a brain bleed through. Mike, my head is hurting from here all the way back to here. It just is exploding. But her hair was all done and her makeup was all on. And she was fully dressed. And I go... did she have some distractions? Did she have some vanities? Did she? Yes. You do, I do. That's why you got to fight for praying. Because you lose it. You have duties. You have work. Is that right? You have responsibilities. You have to do all these. And you have to, and God give it. So you have to fight for that level of prayer. That's all I want you to start doing and keep doing. Oh, yeah, I lost it. I haven't prayed for 3 hours. I haven't prayed all day. You know, I haven't prayed for 2 days. Just notice it and fight for it. That's the key. And you realize, I'm going to keep at this because it is the easiest to lose, hardest to get. And to one guy wrote, he says, prayer was just natural to some people, just natural. It was their first response. My mom was that way. And but it took her a while to get there, and she had to lose it. She always said, "Find it quickly." Is that right? Well, you're gonna it's gonna sink. Get it back quick. You'll notice I haven't prayed for a while. You know, I'm thinking about this, or I'm doing this, or I'm all caught up in this sport event. Nothing wrong with sporting events, but if you get caught up in them and you forget God. I want you to know, at the World Series, they were praying all over the place. Praying all over the place, especially that last game. And wow. I said that at the ninth inning, when they rolled the tarps out, I went to bed. I said, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And I really didn't care who won. And I said, this is ridiculous. And it was amazing to realize that. I told my brother, I said, they should have just declared a tie and gave both of them the crown. Richard said, well, that's just the Christian way of doing it. You got to have a winner and you got to have a loser. It's a shame. It's a shame. And the intensity. We need to be that intense. You can't live there, but you go fight for it. When you realize I've lost it, go get it. Go grab your Bible. Go grab Psalm 119 and read it till it comes back. And get your prayer list out. And get the things that you're praying for. Start thinking about your grandkids. Start thinking about the people at work. Start thinking about our election. Just start thinking. When you haven't tried, you can pray with passion. God, talk. God, every night for the corn events. God, save somebody. God, open hearts. Use our people. Give them a good day so that they're all ready to work at tonight. You know, God help us. God help us. Help Brother Korn. Give him health. Give him words. Help him. You know, you can just pray forever if you want to. Or you can just let it be a routine. Refuse to have prayers that are just super needy every once in a while or super spiritual. You want supernatural praying. Do you know every prayer is supernatural? Every prayer is supernatural. But sometimes we're not careful. We let that just be something that we forget. Put up the next section there. Begin and end everything with supernatural praying. Whether you're going to the store, whether you're going to work, whether you're going to a ball game, whether you're doing anything. If you're going to watch a TV show, begin with prayer and end with prayer, and you may never watch that TV show again. Begin everything with prayer. End everything with prayer. That's how you pray. Supernatural praying. I thought that's not original. I got that from somebody. I got that from I forget who I got it from. The next one is supernatural praying must be passionate, personal, persistent pleading. It must be specific. It must be current. It must be reviewed. It must be remembered. Now, those are good. I got those from James McDonald. It's important that we do that. Prayer is important. That supernatural prayer is passionate. And we got to fight for that. It's personal. It's persistent. Pleading. It's got to be specific. If you don't keep prayer specific, it's just general and you lose them. And it's got to be current. And it's got to be reviewed. You got to, hey, how's your prayer life coming? And it's got to be remembered. And it is so important to catch that. And lastly, supernatural praying must be rekindled hourly, daily, rather than weekly and monthly. Oh, preacher, I lose it. Well, go find it. Preacher, I've not prayed for 2 days. Yeah, go pray. You know, pray on the way home. Today, we have a day where music is played every time. Turn your radio off in your car. Can a car be a wonderful place to pray? Can it be a wonderful place to pray on your way to work? One guy, Bob Jones, when we were having up there, one guy says, I'm getting ready to drive from Greenville to North Carolina, and God and I is going to have 3 hours together. Is that right? Either you can listen to music or whatever, or you can pray. Now, in the middle of your prayer, you might say, slow down, you stupid driver. You know. But you and God can have a time together. And if you play sports, can you pray in the middle of all that stuff too? Some of the best times in the midst of sports, in the midst of events, let's pray. And whatever, at work, can you work and pray at the same time? Yeah, you can drive and pray at the same time, but don't close your eyes. And it's important to realize I can pray and then get to praying. And God Almighty, help me that it's real, that it's refreshing, and it's rewarding, and it's revitalizing, and it's hourly, daily. I want you to write, these are the things you write down. These are great little points. They are something I've adopted from a couple things. John Piper is the one of pray, begin and end with prayer all the time. And those are things that are there. If you're writing those down, I'll let you. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Is that right? Every hour I need thee. Is that right? Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee. And we should also sing that song, I have Thee. Oh, I have Thee. Is that right? I want you to raise your level. When you realize you haven't prayed for a while, go find it and get it back. And you're going to lose it again. The passion comes up, the level comes up, the intensity comes up, and then it falls. Once you realize it's fallen, go get it again. And it'll rise, and the intensity will go down. You'll get busy doing other things, and then it'll rise. And you realize, oh God, help us. And pray for supernatural strength and prayers in your personal life. Supernatural God to show up here at church every weekend and Wednesday. and for God to show up on election day, huh? We have a lot to pray for. I was introduced to the whole world at Andrew's church. I went to Andrew's church this week, and on Wednesday night, Dr. Mark Johnson was preaching, and he showed us the frontier ministries. He was one of them, and it was in Morocco, of unreached people groups of the world. It was amazing that they had to sacrifice everything. They could got killed going in and witnessing and giving out Bibles in a Muslim land. Unreached people groups, nomadic people. They haven't changed the way they live for 2,000 years. Riding camels. This missionary had beard and hair about down to his back. He was identifying with all of them. I'm sitting there going, and then I realized this was a man of God. And I'm going, wow. He is living with nomadic tribes in the deserts of Africa. Wow. Unreached people. The gospel is not in their language. The Bible's not in their language. All kinds. It was amazing. We have people across the street don't know Jesus. Get burdened. Praying. Intense praying.
Let's close our morning of worship and prayer. Father, there are some struggles in our life, some battles that we face that by your grace, you give us victory because through your Son who loved us and gave himself for us, we are more than conquerors. But there are some things in our life in which you're sanctifying us and growing us that we will need to improve in and grow in and change for the rest of our lives. And certainly prayer is a spiritual discipline in which we can all improve no matter what level we are in our prayer discipline, in our prayer lives. Thank you for convicting me this morning. Thank you for growing me this morning, reminding me of so many areas in which my communication with you, my relationship with you, and how I pray is insufficient. Father, thank you for revealing to each one of us areas of self-sufficiency in which we often face our lives and do things completely independent of you because we think that we're enough. And we may not even realize those areas. And as you reveal them to us by your Spirit and by your grace, help us to have the submission to realize our absolute dependence and need of you. We look around at this life and it's so easy to worry. It's so easy to be anxious when we see chaos. Days like Tuesday come up and we can become overwhelmed. Help us to not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, make our requests known to you. And you will incline your ear. You care, you love deeply, and you hear. Thank you for Jesus, who's brought us near to you, that you may listen to us when we come and bring our needs to you boldly before your throne of grace. Help us to do that. Help us to rest in your sovereignty, to live in your love, and to be absorbed by your grace this week. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.